Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Good to see each and every one of you today. It's good to be together, isn't it? And speaking of being together, so many of you this morning have asked, and I know so many of you are interested in just seeing how Pastor Steve's doing. If you're new to Thrive Church, Pastor Steve is our founding pastor, along with Pastor Kathy. And this last Tuesday, he went in for an operation, had to have a heart valve replacement done. And it's major surgery. They cut you all the way down, open you up, replace the valve, and then close you back up again. But we saw him yesterday. I visited with him yesterday. He's doing so, so well. His recovery is pretty miraculous. The doctors cannot believe that somebody of his age is bouncing back as quickly as what he is. So he moves today from ICU into a general ward, all going well, and then home tomorrow. So that's really, really good news. So just some update for you on that. Welcome to you if you're joining us online today. It's so good that we can be together online as well. And if you're wondering why Kristen is so happy, it's because she's just come back from honeymoon. The only thing that can wreck a honeymoon is a grocery shop. Let's pray and we'll get into it. So much I could say, so much I want to say about so many things, but I'm going to keep it together and let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessing and we ask for your touch. We ask, Lord, that your kingdom would come. Prepare our hearts right now for your word and let it change us and mold us in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a story, I read a story the other day of a guy. He was arrived home at his complex in Johannesburg. Tensions were running high because of load shedding. Anybody's tensions run high because of load shedding this week? We just take a moment, just breathe deep, forgive Eskom. Maybe you're not quite ready to forgive yet. It's okay. Just move through it. There's a process. But he came home. Tensions were running high. Boom gate wasn't working. Got into an altercation with somebody in his complex, phoned his pastor, said, I need to come and see you because I need to learn, I need to ask and answer the question, how on earth do I act like a Christian in this world? Anybody been there? Pastor gave him some stuff to do. It was a cross-racial altercation. Gathered together with his friends, they sat together and asked themselves the question, what is Jesus not pleased with in our lives? The answer came very quickly. They said, we're racists. In that moment, all four of them walked over to the unit where the guy that they'd had the altercation lived. They knocked on his door, asked forgiveness and asked if he would come and join their braai. Spent the rest of the night talking together. And in that moment, the question faces each and every one of us like it faced them. What sort of person do we want to become? In his case, the question was, are you content to be a racist for the rest of your life? But for each of us, that question is real, isn't it? What sort of person do I want to become? Perhaps more specifically, the question is, how do I live like a Christ follower in today's day and age? Jesus had a vision for his followers, a vision of who they would become and of who they could become. He had a vision for who they could become and who they would become. We're going to unpack that vision over the next 3 weeks because today we start a new series and we've called it Kingdom People. The prayer, the hope, the prophetic word that we want to speak over our church and over each one of our lives is this, that we would become Kingdom People, people who live in and for the Kingdom of God. Now, straight away, when I mention kingdom people, the word kingdom might present difficulty for you language-wise, because we don't live in an age of kings and queens that much anymore, do we? So I want to unpack for us what it means, or what the kingdom actually is. What does the kingdom mean? Here's the thing. The kingdom of God, it's not some pie in the sky abstract concept. The kingdom of God is a reality. Here is the reality of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is found anywhere where Jesus is king on earth. The kingdom of God found its way to that man's bride that night. Would you agree? The kingdom of God is where the rule and reign of God is happening on earth. The kingdom of God is where the will and the ways of God are happening on our planet. Here's the way. The kingdom of God is anywhere where the teachings of Jesus are being heard, but more than just heard, because how many of you know you can hear a lot today and do very little? So the kingdom is anywhere where the teachings of Jesus are heard, taken seriously, and applied. And so, kingdom people, when we talk about a series of how as a church we're going to trust God to do something in our lives, that we would become kingdom people increasingly, what does it mean? It means that we will be people who bring God's will and God's ways to earth. Just this last Monday, I experienced Thrive being a kingdom people. This past Monday night, there was a beautiful volunteer appreciation dinner for all of the Shine volunteers that volunteer at Shine's literacy program. Shine's literacy program, for those of you who may not know, helps grade twos learn how to read and write. Whole bunches of volunteers, just people like you and I, pull through on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday morning to help grade twos in Recher Park learn how to read and write. They boost their literacy. They give them extra reading and writing time so that they can learn to read and write more effectively. Well, Monday night was the volunteer appreciation for these amazing people. And as the dinner unfolded, the team had prepared a little video, and I've taken the still extracts of some of these kids for you so you can see what they wrote for their teachers, for their volunteers that had come and had come alongside them this whole week. Isn't it beautiful? So stunning. These are these little people just writing messages of appreciation to the people that entered their lives and helped them learn to read and write. On Monday night, there were a whole bunch of kingdom people gathered who'd done amazing kingdom work. Because wherever the will and the ways of God are found themselves, that's the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God exists on Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, in Recher Park, in the school, in the classrooms, as kingdom people come and bring the kingdom to grade twos and grade threes. But later that night, we had a Zoom call out church for Pastor Steve, who is going in for his operation on Tuesday morning. And dozens of people gathered together on Zoom to pray for our founding pastor before the major surgery the next day. As I looked at the people on the call, I thought, you know what? This is the kingdom right here. The kingdom can even come on Zoom. Who of you hate Zoom by now? And I don't mean, sorry, Zoom, if anybody from Zoom USA is watching, I don't mean to trash your share price. We love you, Zoom. We need you. It's just sometimes we prefer to be together, don't we? Can I get some amens? The kingdom is anywhere where the teachings of Jesus are heard and applied. Here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. The kingdom of God is the single biggest thing that Jesus taught about. There was nothing more important that Jesus taught about than the kingdom of God. It was the single most important thing. First, Jesus comes on the scene, and in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Jesus speaks and he says this, "The time has come, the kingdom of God has come near, so repent and believe the good news." Jesus announces himself, and the very words out of his mouth is, "The kingdom has come." Are you with me? Jesus was setting a precedent that the kingdom is going to be the main theme of what he talks about. Second, Luke chapter 4, Jesus comes and he stands up when he's ready to announce that he's ready to begin teaching. he unrolls the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in verse 18, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind." Jesus was doing, he was announcing a new kingdom had come. It's so, so vital that as Christ follows, you and I grab a hold of this. Jesus came to announce, to inaugurate, to begin, to flood the earth with a new kingdom. Third time Jesus speaks about the kingdom, his disciples ask him, "Hey, Jesus, how should we pray?" Jesus says, "Let me teach you how to pray." He begins to teach them the well-known thing that we all used to recite in our schools, didn't we? The Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. "This then is how you should pray." He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We all know the phrase, "Your kingdom come." Now, when you were in grade 2 and grade 3 and grade 4, reciting that prayer, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done," none of us had any clue about what it meant for the kingdom to come. Today, we're going to unpack what it might mean for us to, you and I, to live as kingdom people. Remember that the kingdom is anywhere where the will and the ways of God are happening on the earth. The kingdom of God is anywhere where Jesus' teachings are heard and being applied. And kingdom people are any people that come and bring the will and the ways and the teachings and the application of Jesus' teachings into their world. The kingdom of God happened in a racist guy's briar one night. The kingdom of God happened in the volunteer appreciation on Monday night. The kingdom of God happens when you look into somebody's eyes in this church gathering, in this time together, in this community, and you express empathy or you express understanding or you pray for somebody. The kingdom of God comes when Mark or Joy stand up and begin to lead us in worship. The kingdom of God comes when we gather on Zoom to pray for somebody. The kingdom comes anywhere. God's will and God's ways are done. And kingdom people bring God's will and God's ways to earth. The question becomes, how or who do you want to become? Can I suggest to you that the greatest calling, the greatest vision that Jesus had for your life and my life is that you and I would become a kingdom person. Somebody who brings the kingdom of God to earth. Are you all with me? 8 o'clock, you're alive? How did Jesus bring the kingdom? How did he teach it? Jesus taught it in basically four buckets, right? He taught it in the parables. We saw the kingdom. We see the kingdom in Jesus' parables. We see the kingdom in the meals that Jesus had. The Last Supper. As Jesus, we had to explain to our kids this last week, there was a moment where one of them was acting a bit selfishly. So I took them back to the Last Supper and I said, "How do you think Jesus felt washing the stinky feet of 12 disciples who'd been walking around with sandals on their feet and dusty?" You know, the kingdom of God came in the Last Supper. Are you with me? The kingdom of God came in the meals. Kingdom of God came in the wedding of Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine. Anybody wish they had a little portable Jesus that could turn water into wine at times? You're in church, so none of you are going to admit. It's only this bank. It's only this bank that likes their wine. The rest of you are pretending to be sanitized coffee fans. The kingdom of God came in Jesus' parables, it came in his meals, it came in his miracles, and it came in the prayers of Jesus. So anytime you look at a parable, anytime you look at a prayer of Jesus, anytime you look at the meals of Jesus, anytime you look at the miracles of Jesus, you'll see the kingdom of God come. But today, Luke chapter 17, we're going to read a couple of verses of scripture, and then we're going to unpack from that where we see four kingdom ways to live. Four ways that may answer the question for you and for me, how do I want to live? How do I live as a Christ follower in today? How do I become a kingdom person? What sort of person do I want to become? Luke 17, Jesus sketches this magnificent vision for what your life and my life could look like as a kingdom person. I'm going to try and unravel a little bit of it for us today. Luke 17, from verse 4. It says, "If another believer sins, rebuke that person, then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, 'Show us how to increase our faith.'" They're clearly going, "There's no ways I can do this. There's no chance. Jesus, you better give us more faith because I have absolutely no idea how to do this." The Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No, he says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later. And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should simply say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. This is quite possibly the most, at first glance, the most disconnected series of statements that Jesus makes, where you're thinking, is there a common theme going on here? Like, how does this all hang together? It doesn't seem like he's on one particular plick, as it were. Does that make sense? Verse 11, and Jesus, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and he entered a village there. 10 men with leprosy came and stood at a distance, crying out, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? See how disconnected this is. It's like, what is going on here? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God. See, he's finally mentioning the thing where this whole story comes together. The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. From the text, 4 kingdom ways to live. 4 ways to live as a kingdom person. I see 4 big themes emerging from the text for us today. The first one is forgiveness. Luke 17, verse 3 to 4, he says, if another believer sins, rebuke the person, then if there's repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. The first sign in this text of a kingdom mindset, of a kingdom person, the first attribute of a kingdom person, the first answer to the question, who do you want to become? Jesus would say is linked to a forgiving person. Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to forget. Nor does forgiveness mean that you need to return back to a toxic situation or a toxic relationship. Forgiveness simply is releasing the need to be that person's judge, juror, and executioner. It is releasing them into the hands of God to do what he needs to do. It is relinquishing our need and our desire for justice in a situation. It is simply a release of our heart from being tied to that person's wrong against us. A forgiving person. The second element of a kingdom person is faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 to 6. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. The Lord answered, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Please notice, I think there's going to be a key for somebody here. A lot of us, when we ask the question like faith, what is faith? A lot of us think of it as an abstract concept. A lot of us wonder, can faith ever be something that can characterize our lives? In other words, can I have faith? Like, can I have faith like that? Faith is linked to obedience in this text. Today, let's notice Jesus links faith not with pumping yourself up, not with singing songs, not with declaring powerful words. Jesus links kingdom faith to obedience. In other words, if you've got faith, test it by tuning this tree. obedience. Perhaps our faith and the level of our faith is linked to our obedience. As we obey, as we take a step of faith, as we have a grocery shop and still decide to give, our faith strengthens. Why? Because you're exercising your faith muscle. Vision offering is always a time of faith for us. Personally, as a couple, but also as a church. How's your faith? How's your obedience? How's your obedience to what God's prompting you to give this year? Pastor Ken and I were talking about our own personal pledge. And I said to her, I don't want the fact that last year wasn't great. I don't want it to limit the pledge amount that we have for this year. There's got to be a faith gap. Surely there's got to be a trust gap. Surely I've got to have a measure where I say to God, you've got to make it happen, not me. I didn't get to all of our pledge last year. But surely that shouldn't stop me from saying, God, I'm still going to try and trust you for a stretch. If I can do it comfortably, then it's not faith. Are you with me? I need some amens in this quiet, quiet church. Faith is linked to obedience. Here's the thing. Me, drill it down to the essence. The way you grow your faith is by growing your obedience. The way you grow your faith muscle is by exercising your faith muscle. If it's comfortable, it's not faith. Third characteristic of kingdom people is humility. Humility. Verses 7 to 10. The servant comes in, right, and he's been plowing and taking care of sheep. And the master doesn't say to him, come and eat with me. He says, no, prepare my meal, put on your apron, serve me while I eat, and then you can eat later. In other words, Jesus is saying, know your place. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. Jesus is encouraging us to know where we're located relative to him. In that case, he's the master. Jesus is saying, have you surrendered? Do you understand that you're here to serve me? In a culture where everything teaches us to serve ourselves, Jesus' teaching is quite offensive. Because he's saying, do you know your place? Do you know that I'm Savior, but I'm also Lord? And as your obedience and your faith rises, so your humility also needs to be there. You were created to serve me, not the other way around, is what Jesus is saying pretty, he's kind of saying it pretty blatantly, isn't he? Can be quite upsetting to hear somebody say, you were designed to serve me. I mean, husbands, just try and tell that to your wives. I dare you now, while in church, let's see a fight break out in this place. Just turn to your wife and say, you were designed to serve me. Now, there's not a single guy who'll do it. There's not a single guy. There are a couple of Brieke wives who might do it, but there's no men. There's no self-respecting man who's going to get taken out by his wife in church. No chance. And so when Jesus says, basically through the parable, he's telling the story, but he's like, do you understand that your life is one of service to me? So I can't, kingdom people, can we talk honestly? Can we talk, permission to talk honestly? I can't understand people who can come to church and never serve because Jesus designed us to serve. Jesus instructs us to serve. Jesus teaches us that the best way to live your life is to serve. And if you and I remain consumer Christians, if you and I pursue a consumer mentality, the only thing that ever happens to a consumer is they get poor and fat. Think about what happens on Black Friday. Does anybody want to take a vow with me today that I will go nowhere near a shop on Black Friday? Anybody want to take a vow with me? I will not open Takealot on Black Friday. Yeah, some of you aren't convinced yet. Some of you, no, there's lots that are very convinced. There's three hands going up right now. What happens to people on Black Friday? They spend too much, they get poor, and then they eat too much and they get fat. You know what happens to consumer Christians? They eat too much and get fat because they never exercise it off. Here's the thing. We are educated way above our level of obedience. We've got way too much knowledge and way too little obedience. You can quote me gazillion passages of Scripture, show me your budget as to whether you serve Jesus. Show me your time schedule as to whether you serve Jesus. Show me from your life whether you're a kingdom person. So Jesus doesn't mince his words when it comes to the humility aspect. He's like, you are designed to serve God, not the other way around. Fourth one is gratitude. Luke 17, and it's verse 11 to 19. It's the story of the leper. I won't read it again. How many lepers get healed? 10. How many come back? One. And so, kingdom people are people who bring God's will and ways to earth. Here's how you do it in the text, from the text. There are four ways. Decide to forgive. Act out of faith and obedience. Act out of faith and obedience. Not speak out of faith and obedience. Act out of faith and obedience. Pursue humility and put on gratitude. Let me say it again. Jesus says if you want to live as a kingdom person, decide to forgive. Number two, act in faith through obedience. Number three, pursue humility. And number four, put on gratitude. Now, there are two things about the kingdom to take note of as we mull over what Jesus is saying to us. There are two attributes to the kingdom that if you and I want to live those four things, you and I must know. The first is located in the key from verse 20. When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. Here's the principle. The kingdom of God must come in us before it comes through us. That's what Jesus, the kingdom of God is in our midst. Not only is it in us, but it's around us. But the principle is the kingdom comes first in us before it can come through us. What does it mean for the kingdom to come in us? Can I suggest it might mean the following to us? It might mean that we begin to live gradually, day by day. Sometimes it's three steps forward and then two steps back. Sometimes it's a half a step forward and then one step back. The camera people are loving me as I do this. But it is to begin to live in the character and the power of God. It is to take on the qualities of Christ internally in us. What does it mean for the kingdom of God to come in us before it comes through us? It is for you and I to take on the qualities of God, to begin to live like Jesus lived, to begin to take on the character and the power of God. I heard a story about an elephant. Massive big elephant, fully grown male, tusks a meter long. A guy walks past this elephant. He sees this elephant is tethered by a little thin rope to a tree. As he looks at the elephant tethered by this very thin rope, he takes a good few steps back, as I would you agree? Because surely this rope can't be successfully holding the elephant. He says to the elephant's owner, how is it possible that the elephant allows itself to be tethered to this tree by this thin little rope? He says, it's very easy. When the elephant was a baby, when it first emerged from its mother's womb, we tethered the elephant with this little string to this tree. It's been tethered to this tree by this little string ever since then. The elephant doesn't know any different. It still believes that the same string that held it when it was a baby 2 days old, it can hold it now that it's 5 years old. The point is, what was in the elephant was he had a mentality that he was still 2 days old. And so he never allowed himself to be free because he still believed he would be tethered by the rope as a 2 day old. What's in us really matters. What's in us? What was in the elephant was 2 day old thinking. The kingdom of God comes in us before it comes through us. Second thing to know about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is both words and works. Jesus healed the lepers. He didn't just say to them, hey guys, the kingdom of God has arrived. Go and be blessed. That would have been words. What does he say to them? Go and show yourselves. And as they walked, they were healed. There was a work involved. There was something that happened. The kingdom of God is not simply words. The kingdom of God is not simply that. The kingdom of God is not simply worshiping God in the service. The kingdom of God is worshiping God with our finance, worshiping God with our time, worshiping God through the forgiveness that we give to others, worshiping God through the humility that we adopt. The kingdom of God is not simply worshiping God with our words. It's worshiping God with our gratitude of our hearts. So are you with me today? It's words and works. I saw this on full display this last week. We're busy having dinner together as a family. And we'd bought a little tub of Rocky Road ice cream. Anybody love Rocky Road ice cream? Oh, yes. So, out comes the tub. Pastor Gann says, no, she's not going to have. She's going to try and be good. So, Kate says to her, why don't you start being good tomorrow? So, she says, I've got to try and be good today. So, Kate says, I'm going to do the Daniel fast. So, we say, oh, that's very nice. She says, I'm going to do the Daniel fast, and I'm going to eat just vegetables. So Pastor Ken says to her, why don't you start the Daniel fast now? She says, no, because then I can't eat the ice cream. The point is, the words, I'm going to do the Daniel fast, are cheap. The works, I'm going to do the Daniel fast, cost. Because then it means you've got to say no to the Rocky Road ice cream. There's many things that are easy to say, but kingdom people become people who decide to forgive and actually do it. Kingdom people are people who act in faith through obedience. Kingdom people pursue humility, and they put on gratitude, understanding that there are two things about the kingdom that are so important. The kingdom must first come in us before it can come through us. And the kingdom of God is located in both works and words. Notice Jesus didn't come and he, in that scene that we read now, where he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim. I mean, that's a sermon, but he followed the sermon up with action. He followed the sermon up with ministry. There was actually stuff that Jesus did. It's impossible for you and I to locate the kingdom simply in our words. It's got to find its way into our works. And so, what are some kingdom ways we can live? You know, when we worship, when we come to church and when we worship, we don't stand stock still. We bring a sacrifice of praise. That means you know what's amazing? People say, I'm an introvert. I don't want to worship loudly at church. Put those same oaks in a soccer game or a football game or in a rugby game, and they'll go bananas. All of a sudden, all notions of introversion are out the window. If Liverpool scores, they become hooligans. Are you with me? Put those guys in the Soweto Derby with Chiefs and Pirates and see what happens to your introvert in church next to you. Can I get some amens? So, how do we live this? We live it through our worship, demonstratively. We live it through our service to the poor. We live it when the team at the cafe say, hey, do you want to buy some Nutrigo packs? We sacrifice. We go without a meal. We go without a dinner out. We go without something to be able to serve the poor. That's words and works. Are you with me? How do we become kingdom people? It means we decide, I'm going to volunteer. It decides I'm going to put on a how can I serve you shirt. It means we decide I'm going to use my life for somebody else. I'm going to allow my life to flow over into somebody else's life. How do we begin to live the kingdom? We begin to become people of service. How do we become kingdom people? We become people of generosity, looking to serve the poor, serve our church, serve the Lord. We become people who sacrifice financially for the kingdom and for the cause. That's where the rubber hits the road. What does it mean to become a kingdom person? It means we actually set our alarm earlier. It actually means we turn off Netflix at night so we can have just a half an hour with the Lord. It means we download a YouVersion Bible reading plan. It means we get out our Bible. It means we go down on our knees and we pray, regardless of whether we feel like it or not, regardless of whether we've had a long day or not, regardless of whether we've had enough sleep or not, kingdom people locate themselves in the fact that the kingdom is words and works. We're not saved by works, but the kingdom comes through our works. Pastor Kent had the opportunity to pray with her dad this last week, visiting him in ICU. And then there was a family next door to him, and this man had been desperately ill for 3 weeks. An Italian guy, and surrounded by a big, beautiful Italian family. And they heard that this guy lying in the bed is a pastor, and his family, his wife and his daughter are pastors. And they said, okay, well, would you pray for us, you know? And she began to pray for this man in his room. When she walked into his room, she noticed that the room was so full of tension and so full of fear, so full of heaviness. And so she decided to just pray. And she said, God, would you please let your peace come into this room? All of a sudden, this Italian lady skriks with her eyes open. She says, can you feel that wind blowing? She looks at her daughter. The daughter goes, I can feel the wind blowing. Pastor Ken goes, I can feel the wind blowing. And the presence of God and the Spirit of God descended into that room, blew around it, and just brought peace. It would have been easier to say, I'll pray for you when I get home. I'll remember you in my prayers. But kingdom people want the will and the ways of God to invade the personal space that they're in that moment. And the kingdom of God came in a hospital room, and a whole family experienced the peace of God which they'd never experienced before. Today, I would love the privilege just to pray for you, for those of us who need the kingdom to come in our lives. I feel particularly strongly today. I've just had it on my heart and mind since yesterday to pray for healing. So I'm just going to simply ask, those of you who need healing, would you stand where you are, just in this moment and in this space? And if, could be a physical healing, could be an emotional healing, could be a spiritual healing. Sure, so many. Can I ask those of our Guest Connector team that are in the building at the moment, could you just try and see if you could get around while I'm praying and just place hands on people? Keep your distance and just place your hand on their shoulder. So many people, hey. So many people. Okay, here's the thing, guys. Would you lock eyes with me just for a moment? Just for a moment. Just for a moment. I'm really going to pray in this moment. And I want to ask you to just lift your faith with me. Come, Jesus said, just as small as a mustard seed. I'm going to pray for instantaneous, miraculous healing. Just feel like there's a touch of God on it today for that. Cancer diagnosis. Some of you are struggling with long COVID. Some of you are battling with long-standing health issues. Come on, either we people who believe the kingdom can come here and now. I don't want to delay. I don't want to say, let's pray later. I want to pray now. Just a simple prayer. Father, in this moment, please heal. Please heal. Extend your hand of healing. Can I ask you to exercise your faith just where you are, nice and softly, not out loud, but softly. Just say, Father, I receive healing from you today. I receive healing from you today. Okay, while we're in this moment, God's touching. The kingdom comes when we open our hearts to Jesus first. Today, my simple prayer is if you want to open your life to Christ, if you want to say yes to Him, if you want Him to come in your life, that means literally His Spirit begins to work in your heart and life. Just raise your hand where you are right now. While everybody's still praying, just raise your hand. Yes, sir. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up across this place so I can see who you are. Thank you at the back. Just raise your hand up nice and high so I know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you over there. Thank you. Those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in this moment. You can be in this prayer with me where you are. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy. Jesus, thank you that you went to a cross for me. Thank you that you died the death I should have died so that I could have eternal life. But not only eternal life, so that I could surrender my life to you and learn, Jesus, how you want me to learn to be with you and become like you and do what you do. In this moment, I open my life to you. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. I ask, here's my simple prayer, God, would the kingdom of God come in my life in this moment? Forgive me for where I've gone wrong. Forgive me for trying to own my life. Forgive me for trying to run my own life. Forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for every sin. Thank you, Jesus, for a new story that you write with my life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.